If there is one thing that we with our high-speed internets and with our G4 smartphones, if there is one thing that we have in common with the so-called Moses Psalm, it is an obsession with the passage of time. Just look at Psalm 90. It is literally riddled with expressions that belong to the semantic field of time. Not any time, mind you, not static time, but time in motion, time that passes, time expressed in such terms as generations, days, nights, years, 70 years, 80 years, 1,000 years, before, past, morning, evening, yesterday, withers away, passes away. Many consider that the key verse in Psalm 90 is verse 12, the one that reads, "So teach us to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom." Most of the people who have meditated upon this psalm believe that the psalmist here is calling us to consider or to take into consideration the day of our death. That is, to stop thinking of the day of our departure as something being a long ways off. In order to get a heart of wisdom, we need to take into consideration the fragility not only of life, but also of all human undertakings, including the international banking system. The person who is prepared for the day of his departure or for the day of the Lord is a wise person and not a fool. As we draw near to the end of the church year, we will be running into many fools in our lectionary. The fools like the man who buried his talent or the five foolish virgins. The mark of the fool in these texts is that the fool does not make provision for the future. The fool does not take into consideration that there will be a day of reckoning. Listen to what the foolish rich man in Luke 12 says. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, in which to store my grain and all my goods. I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods for many years, so just relax, eat, drink, and be married.' What, me worry?" In the Old Testament, we even run into another rich man whose very name, Nabal, means fool. You will probably remember Nabal as that churlish husband of Abigail. He was the man who was in his folly not prepared to receive the coming of the Lord's anointed. That means David. All of the fools that we run into in the New Testament are those who are not prepared for the coming of great David's greater son. However, there is another angle from which to read Psalm 90. As we read, sing, or chant this psalm as we just have done, we are struck by the jarring references to the wrath and to the anger of God. It is apparent that Psalm 90 was written during a time of great stress, anguish, and suffering. The psalm appears to be interceding for a sinful person, like Moses did after the incident of the golden calf, pleading with God to be merciful to his people and to put away his wrath. And it is in this context that the psalm calls upon us to count our days and to get a heart of wisdom. The psalm, in fact, is calling out to a people suffering the consequences of sin and feeling crushed by the anger of God. The psalmist seems to be calling out to those suffering people not to lose hope. We remember that after hearing the report of the spies sent out by Moses to stake out the promised land, the Israelites wished to return to Egypt. And you remember what there was their punishment. 40 years in the wilderness. After enduring so much misadventure in the desert, so many battles, hunger, fiery serpents, and other dangers, Israel must have begun to lose heart, to lose hope. We'll never make it to the promised land. Forever we will be condemned to march and to go in circles in this wilderness. Moses would have to remind those depressed people to count their days. The 40 years in the desert will not last forever. How many years are there left? What's the countdown? 16, 15, 14, 13, 12. Hang on, people. After the 40 years have passed, the Lord will make his grace and his mercy to shine. Bear up, children. Don't sit around dreaming of those melons and cucumbers and stews that you used to eat back in Egypt. You've already been marching through the desert for 35 years. That means only 5 years are left. Count the days. Keep on marching, struggling, fighting, hoping, praising God, singing psalms of hope. His wrath will pass away. You will enter into the promised land. The people who are supposed to know tell us that Psalm 90 was probably added to the Psalter along with the other Psalms in the fourth Psalm scroll sometime during the Babylonian captivity. It's easy to see how this would have special relevance for the captives in Babylon. The prophet Jeremiah had prophesied that the captivity would not last forever, but only for 70 years. For 70 years, the captives in Babylon would endure the Lord's anger, but these days of anger would come to an end. It's interesting that our psalm also talks about 70 years. After those 70 years, the glory of the Lord would return to lead the captives home. So, my dear captives, count off the remaining days of your exile. Number off the days that remain that you might get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy in the morning with your steadfast love, that we might rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as those with you have afflicted us. Today, here we in Concordia Seminary are not like the children of Israel, counting the days and waiting for the moment to enter into the land of Canaan. We are not like the captives in the Babylonian captivity, waiting for our exile to end. The Anointed One has come and has taken away the wrath of God that was threatening to crush us under its weight. We are no longer under the wrath of God, but under grace. The Lamb of God has reconciled us with the Father, and the favor of the Lord has been poured out upon us. And yet still today, the psalm calls upon us to count our years and our days and our generations. We are called to count our days and years, not only to remind ourselves that we are mortal and that we have a short shelf life here on planet Earth. We are also called to count our days so as to remember that the night is far advanced, the day is at hand, and our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. As we count our days, we remember there is less time left in which to invest our talents. There is less time left for work of mercies. There is less time left to make disciples of all nations. And so we pray, let the favor of the Lord be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yea, yes, amen, establish the work of our hands. Luther tells us that this work of our hands consists in proclaiming the word, celebrating the sacraments, sharing the faith, showing mercy to the needy, and raising up a Christian family in the midst of this evil and adulterous generation. This is what it means to invest our talents wisely. The time between our Lord's ascension and his parousia is not to be wasted or wrapped up in a napkin or in a security blanket. Time has been given to us for carrying out a mission. A mission that is carried out in hope. A hope that is based on the promise of our Lord's return. Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.